We're back. Okay. If you would turn to Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 12 probably to verse 17 because I can't stop in the middle. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, what I want to talk about today is delivered and translated. But I can't read that without reading the rest, because it's all related, every little bit of it. Now, this is Paul's letter, as he says in verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Colossae, at Colossae. I do want to point this out. All of Paul's letters in the Bible are written to believers. That's just a fact. Now, I don't want to say that Paul never wrote to unbelievers. It's just we don't have any of that in this book. I wouldn't be surprised if he did. I know he spoke to unbelievers because he spoke in public. But these epistles collected in the Bible are all, every single one of them, to believers. Now, unbelievers are free to read the Bible and listen to sermons, but this epistle is for those who are right now, when he wrote it, and right now here, those who are what faithful brethren in Christ. Question is, can you believe? I hope so. Most people cannot, but if you believe, this epistle and this message is for you. I will say again, I've got nothing new. There is nothing new. But this is going to be, hopefully, the same old gospel, the same old good news about Jesus Christ. He starts off in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He said previously, where is it? Verse 9 says, for this cause we also, now this letter is addressed from Paul and Timothy. That's what the we is. We also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and all and spiritual understanding. Thanks to the Father. Giving thanks unto the Father. That's what we're to do. As per the instructions of the Son. When you pray, pray on this wise. Our Father. That's who you are to pray to. And that's who Paul was praying to here. We are never told, and it's very little spoken of, but we are never told in the New Testament to pray to Jesus Christ. And we are told to call upon the name of the Lord. And when you pray the Father in my name, there you are. But he said, pray to the Father. That's what Paul's doing.
Right.
Our Father who art in heaven, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's talking about the Father's will, which is exactly identical to the Son's will. But Jesus Christ made the distinction. And we are to recognize it and behave appropriately. Paul is being explicitly clear here. If you are a saint, a faithful brethren in Christ Jesus, it is because the Father's will is done. You give thanks to the Father. Now, there's no question what Paul's writing here. The saints and the faithful are to give thanks to him who has made us meet. What's that word mean? Fit? Qualified? Certified? However you want to say it. Because the implication here, when Paul says this, he made us meet, the implication is quite clear that guess what? We weren't meet.
Right.
We weren't fit. We weren't qualified.
Exactly.
But give thanks to God if you are.
Yeah.
And this is a thing now. Right now, when he's writing this letter to these Colossians who believe, God already has made you meet if you believe. The reason we weren't meet, the reason we weren't fit, is that we were ungodly.
Yeah.
And because we were ungodly, we were unrighteous. And God demands absolute righteousness and holiness. And the Father provides absolute righteousness and holiness in Christ Jesus. Because the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus were at one time unsaintly and faithless.
Right.
We all were that at one time. And we give thanks to God since we heard of your faith. What he says in verses 3 and 4. And it is your faith. But it's only your faith because he gave it to you.
Right.
He's the one that made us meet. He's the one, if you're faithful, he's the one that made you faithful.
Right.
If you're a saint, he's the one that made you a saint. There's no question here. We give thanks to the Father who made, wait a minute. See, up to verse... Well, actually, all the way up to verse 12, Paul's talking to them. Paul's talking to the saints and faithful at Colossae. But now here he changes. He says, giving thanks to the Father who made us meet. He has included himself and Timothy in that same very group. Why? That's the switch from you to us. But we're still talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
Because Paul is including himself and Timothy in this statement, and he's going to describe what all believers, every single one, well, I wrote this down yesterday, that he hath made us and not we ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
We give thanks to God. We give thanks to the Father for being made meet. And why? What's it say? To be a participant in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's what it means to be a partaker. You are a participant. You're not an outsider because he has brought you in.
Amen.
He has brought you in Christ. We're not on the outside looking in. We're not on the outside looking up. He's brought us in to his family. We are to be a participant in the inheritance that is given to the saints in light. And Paul is here saying, we are participants right now in this inheritance. Romans 8 and verses 16 and 17. Let me just read that so I don't mess it up. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs. We are heirs now. We are heirs now. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified, what? Together. Together. There is an in Christ and there is a without Christ. But these are those that are in Christ. And they are made to be partakers, participants in this inheritance. Right now, if you are in Christ, you are a child of God. And right now, if you are a child of God, what? You are an heir. You are partaking, you are participating in this inheritance of the saints in light. And this goes for apostles as well as people. Preachers as well as members. There's no difference here. Paul included himself and Timothy in this statement. You're either a partaker or you're not. That's the division, and that's the only division here. Again, this has nothing to do with whether you're elect or not. This has not to do with whether or not you are in Christ at this time. You may be elect and not in it. Because at one time, Paul was consenting to the death of Stephen. He wasn't a partaker then. I believe he was a child of God. I know he was elect. God knew him in his mother's womb. But there had to come that time when that apostle had to be brought in. And he was brought in into what? Into this. He was made meet to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. And that is the same place that we are brought into. Because if we are children, we are heirs. And we are heirs now. On this earth as we walk around. Now, I'm not talking about feelings, because you may not feel it. Your circumstances may dictate your attention be elsewhere. Now, that's your fault, not circumstances. I can blame me for anything. It's easy. It's easy to be distracted when you're human. But nevertheless, whether I'm distracted or not, I'm a partaker.
Right. Yeah.
Whether you're troubled by your circumstances and what's gone on in your life, you're a partaker.
Yeah.
If you are in Christ, if you are one of the faithful brethren, what's a faithful brethren? A faithful brethren is one who believes.
Right.
Full of faith.
Right.
One who has been given faith by God. It's not that you're faithful and you come every Sunday, rain or shine, sleet or snow. No. No, because it's not faithful to hear, it's faithful to him.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
That's where it lies. And if it's in you, it's in you, whether you know it or not at the present moment.
Right.
Thank God it is. Because the Father, and it says, hath, guess what? Made us. That's past tense. It's past tense. The Father hath qualified us. It's about the facts. Feelings aside.
Right.
Facts. He's made us meet. And guess what? If he makes you meet, your meat. And that sounds funny because we have two definitions for the word meat, but you know, two different spellings. But if he's qualified you, you're qualified.
Right.
If he's fit you, that song, I like that, you know, and fit us for heaven,
yes,
to be with you there.
Sure.
We can't go like we are.
No.
Not naturally, no way.
No.
But if he's made you fit, you're fit.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's his work. He'll take care of it.
Amen.
He hath made us, and not we ourselves. Because this is not dependent on anything you do or anything you feel. Because if you are now in Christ, the Father hath made you qualified. And he has made you a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And we're to rejoice in that.
Yeah.
We are to rejoice in that. We are to be glad of that. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5 says, ye are all the children of light. The children of the day. We are not of the night, and we are not of darkness. Now that doesn't mean darkness ain't around us. That doesn't mean we don't go through the night sometimes. But we are not of the night.
Right.
We are not of the darkness. We are of the day. We are of the light.
Yeah.
Why? Because we are in him who is the light.
Amen.
And how do we get in him? The Father hath made us qualified.
Right.
Then he states this, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, this is still talking about the Father. This is still referencing, what? The Father of lights, from whom cometh down all the good gifts. There are no good gifts except for the ones the Father of lights gives. And we are partakers of this inheritance, what? With the saints of light. And we are the children of light. Why? Who hath delivered us?
Yeah.
This is salvation. You say what you want, do what you will. People, I come down the aisle and I pray to prayer. No, this is salvation right here. And guess what? You didn't do any of it. Here's the apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle Paul and Timothy, sending this letter to the saints in Colossae, congratulating them on how wonderfully they got themselves saved. No, not even close. He didn't even tell the Colossians they took the first step. He starts off with God, he's going to continue with God, and he's going to finish with God.
Amen.
Because this is all the work of God. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. So first of all, who does this salvation?
Ooh,
the Father. This is the salvation of the Father given to those whom he has given to the Son. And this also is all in the past tense. This is all something he has done for everyone that is in Christ at this time.
Right.
And there's no difference in the saints and the faithful brethren, because still Paul's saying, who hath delivered what? Us. What? And hath translated who? Us.
Mm-hmm.
Apostles and brethren alike. Preacher and not alike. It's just amazing to me. I'm not saying there's a general salvation, but I'm going to tell you this. The salvation of God's elect is done exactly the same way to every one of God's elect.
Right.
It's not just out there and available for everyone.
No. No.
No, it's not what this is saying. God has to do it.
Amen.
And if God doesn't do it, it's not done.
Right.
Now there's counterfeits everywhere.
Yes.
You know? And I remember somebody saying one time, well, the only reason the counterfeit has a value is there's actually some real stuff out there somewhere. I don't know of what value it is to be a counterfeit Christian. I really don't. Maybe it helps some people in business. I don't know. For some people, it is a business.
Yes.
That's a whole other thing. It's always been good business to make people feel good. That's why they left Christ and walked no more with him when he talked to them and told them exactly how it is. But this is all in the past tense. Because if you have been brought into Christ, you are in Christ at this time, and this is the truth of his salvation. The Father hath delivered you from darkness and translated you, what? Into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Yes.
That is salvation.
Yeah.
That's the salvation of the Father. That's the salvation of Christ. That's the salvation of the Spirit. This is the salvation of God. He does it all. Like I said, I got nothing new. You were delivered and translated by the Father, and God is the cause of your salvation. Because it's his salvation. Why? That the faith, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but where? In the power of God.
Amen.
And it says we are delivered from the power of darkness. Hath delivered us from the power of darkness. I wrote this down for 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's being in darkness.
Yeah,
that's darkness. Being in darkness.
That's darkness.
Yeah. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. God doesn't ever, I don't know how to say, God doesn't ever not shine.
Right.
How do you say that? You know? It's not possible for God to not shine. It's not possible for the gospel, the true gospel, not to be the truth.
Right. Right.
The problem was with us.
Yes.
That's what we've been delivered from.
Yes.
The darkness that was within. Ephesians 5 and 8 put it this way, for ye were sometimes darkness. But now, there's a difference. There's been a difference made. Who hath delivered us? Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. This is where we all were. Including the Apostle Paul and Timothy. Every single one of us, we were in darkness because our minds were blinded. There was nothing wrong with the message, there was something wrong with us.
Right.
And if God doesn't do something for you, there's always going to be something wrong with you.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. That old beggar told him, and he meant it. He says, I don't know who this man is yet. I don't know nothing. But I do know one thing. He says, whereof I was blind, but now I see.
Yeah.
If you don't start there, you haven't started.
Right, you haven't started.
If your eyes haven't been opened, if the blindness has not been removed from your mind, you have not been delivered from the power of darkness by the Father.
Right, right, right.
That's where it is. We were brought out of darkness. But this is another one. I like what you say sometimes. But he just doesn't leave you there.
Right.
He doesn't put us in a neutral position. You understand? Mm-hmm. He brought us out of darkness. But he didn't just leave us out of darkness.
Right.
He translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Yes.
And guess what? This happens to every single child of God.
Right.
How were we delivered? We were translated. Can you look it up? It means transferred. I like that word. You were in the power of darkness and he transferred you.
Yeah.
That's right. Because guess what? When you're transferred, you ain't where you used to be. You used to be here in darkness. Now, you're in the light.
Yeah.
And guess what? Once you're transferred, there ain't no going back. They frown on that thing. You're gone from here. Now, you're an alien to the darkness and a citizen of the light. Because this is where we live now. I like that. Darkness to light. And it happened when you were quickened. When you were made alive. In Christ. And I'm not going to make a big point of this, but I'm not going to ignore it either. He's translated us into a kingdom.
Yeah.
And you can take that however you want to. But you look that word up, guess what? About 200 some odd times it's used as kingdom. So I'm assuming that's what it means. So I'm also assuming, because of what it actually just says, that his dear son has a kingdom right now, and I'm in it. And you're in it, if you're in him. Now, I know some people have a problem with that. That's their problem. It's okay. I like being in his kingdom. I like the idea of being in his kingdom. And I like the idea of the fact that God took me from here and he put me in here and I am in the Son's kingdom. And he is my Lord right now. He was my Lord when I was here, but I didn't know it. My mind was blinded. To not only to the gospel, but to him. I mean, it's so bad. We are so depraved that, you know, when people heard him talk and he told them the truth, they left him in droves. In a couple of cases, by the thousands. Because, you know, if I had been there with Peter and the apostles and he was preaching those 5,000 and they were eating it up there until he got to the end. And told him, no man can come unto me except to be given him of the Father. No man can come unto me unless the Father which has sent me draw him. And then they all left. You know, if I'd have been with the disciples then, I'd have been talking about building a big church. Because we got 5,000 members right here. But no, they heard him speak and they left. Why? They're still in darkness. And they hadn't been translated into the kingdom of the Father's dear Son.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. Excuse me. He makes a difference. And we are in his kingdom now.
Now.
And that is part of being a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. If you're born again, unless you're born again, you ain't going to see the kingdom. Unless you're born of the water and the spirit, you ain't going to enter the kingdom. But guess what? If you are born again, you're going to see it. And if you are born from above and you are born of the water and the spirit, you are going to enter that kingdom. And Paul says we have now. Now anybody else can say anything they like. This is America. You have your freedom for blasphemy. God don't give you that freedom. That's true, Walter. That's it. God don't give you the right to believe whatever you want. America does. And I can't help you. Because if the gospel's hit, it's hit to them that are lost. This message is for believers. Well, you know you're a believer or not. How do you know you're a believer? You believe this? You believe him? You believe his apostles? You believe his message? It's the only way we got to tell.
Right.
And if you want to hate it, you want to fight it, go right ahead. Millions do.
Yes, they do.
Other millions just ignore us and hope we'll go away. Well, I'm going home when I get done, but that's about it, you know. This is where we are right now. How did we get here? The Father did it, but now it switches from the Father to the Son. Because it says, we've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So the reference has changed of who Paul's writing about.
Right.
The subject of the sentence now, the subject of this phrase of the sentence, because this is all these seven, you know, 9 to 17 is one sentence. But the subject of this phrase here is now the Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood.
Right.
What? Even the forgiveness of sins. He hath delivered us and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. How is that possible when we are ungodly, unrighteous sinners in whom we have redemption through His blood? That's the only way it's possible. And I'm going to tell you something else. It ain't that it's possible, it's certain. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? If you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. If you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. And if you know the Father, you know the Son. And if you don't know the Son, you don't know the Father. If you don't know the Father, you don't know the Son. Because these three, including the Holy Spirit, are one. You know, just one. There's no way to separate them. They don't have a different message.
No.
Okay? So there's only one message, and it's the message of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood.
Yeah.
So what's the conclusion of this whole matter? Christ Jesus is all.
Yeah.
By Him, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Christ is all. Christ is all. But now, what I do want to point out is before Paul started this, verses 9 and 10, it does say, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." But it doesn't stop there.
Right.
You know, there's a purpose for wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Right. Right.
There's a purpose for the gospel of Christ in your life right now. What's he say? Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
We preach the gospel, and because we preach the gospel, we preach walk. You're not going to walk perfectly, but Paul said, I want you guys to have this, that you would walk.
Yeah.
That you would walk. Walk worthy of who? The Lord.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about walking worthy of me.
No.
Or walking worthy of Walter.
No.
Even walking worthy of Earl.
No.
You need to walk worthy of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation where ye are called. Paul wrote that, Ephesians 4 and 1. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 12, he said, that ye would walk worthy of God. Why? Who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. And glory. And I read it earlier, ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. What? In the Lord. Walk. Walk. As children of light.
Yeah.
Because we are many things in and of ourselves, and none of them are good.
Right. There you go.
But what we are in Christ is good.
Yes. That's right.
And nothing but good.
Right. Yeah.
We're in His kingdom. The kingdom of the Father's dear Son. And we're in that kingdom because He put us in that kingdom.
Right.
And we are to walk worthy of it. We're not going to walk perfectly. I know that. But try. endeavor. I'm not going to say endeavor to persevere because I like that movie. But we are to endeavor. Therefore, walk. I used to be told when I was growing up, sometimes, by my parents, by teachers, by a couple of drill sergeants when I was in the Army, would you please act like you got some sense? Most days I didn't listen. But that's what this is. If you've been translated, if you've been delivered out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, act like it. Walk. Just, that's all I'm saying. That's what Paul's saying. Just walk. Do the best you can with what you got. But never forget how you got there. That'll help you walk. Remembering Him is always best for your walk. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. But most of all, thankful for everything You have done to us, for us, in us, around us, through Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord. Be with Walter as he comes to deliver the message today. And help us to understand Your words and Your will and Your way as we do go forth to walk in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.